Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you continually reveal yourself to us. And Father, we just want to appreciate more of who you are. We want to appreciate more of what you've done for us. And Father, we ask that you would come in these moments and that you'd open our hearts and that you would speak to us. Father, my heart's desire is that we collectively hear your voice for this church as we enter into a new year. And so, Father, we just pray, may our ears be open and attentive to all that you want to say. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Have you ever heard that saying, new year, new you? Have you heard that? Have you used that? Have you made New Year's resolutions that within the first few weeks have just kind of fallen by the wayside? I'm sure you have. But how about this phrase, new creation, new you? New creation, new you. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Wow. I sometimes think, I wish God had recreated the physical as well as the spiritual. Yeah? It's already happened. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Something has already happened. Something new has already happened. If you believe in Jesus and if you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've invited the Holy Spirit into your life, then you're a new creation. It's already happened. So forget about 2024 and making resolutions. God is already doing something in your life, and it's about pressing into what that is. Why? That we might truly reflect the image of God that is seen in Christ. We're trying to become like Jesus. That's why we're called Christians, that we become like Jesus. Jesus, we know, is the image of the invisible God. When we look at Jesus, we see God. We see that reflection of the God who created us in Jesus, and we are trying to be like him. And so I hope today that by the end of this message, we're challenged and encouraged to become more like Jesus. And our verse is found in Galatians 5 and 25. We're going to read scripture in a wee second. But I was reflecting on this just this week. People who keep in step with the Spirit keep in step with each other. Do I need to repeat that? Are you still with me? Are you okay? Just checking, okay? People who keep in step with the Spirit keep in step with each other. I want to think about that as we open up this message on Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 today. But let me read the scripture first. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Dear. That's with an early night. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. I want to zoom in on verse 25. It's highlighted there in the text for you. Let me read it in a couple of different translations. So in the Amplified version, this is how it reads. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And this is how it opens up. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line. Our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Controlled by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25, the New Living Translation says this. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Are you with me? Okay. Last one in the Message translation. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. What a way to express this incredible verse. And I want you to watch out for something that I've been thinking a lot about as I've been meditating on some of Paul's writings, is the plurality of thought in what we're reading. Because for me, I don't know about for you, but for me, there was a time where I would have read that about keeping in step with the Spirit. It's all about my faith. It's all about my walk with God. It's all about my journey. And it's all about what I can do to keep in step with the Spirit. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's more than that. It's about what we do collectively. That includes what you do individually. But there's something that we need to do collectively as a church to keep in step with the Spirit. And I want us to think about that as we move on. And there's an interesting verse. It was in the Amplified there. And it talked about walking in line. I'm going to come back to that in a second. And I have experience of walking in line. When I was a kid, I always wanted to be in one of the armed forces. However, that never happened for various reasons. I was in the Boys' Brigade, though. And I'm going to show you a picture, okay? This is our company, 1st Uddingston BB. And there's over 100 boys in that company, and there was around, I don't know, about 15, 20 officers in our company. And we were a really successful Boys' Brigade company. I enjoyed being part of the BBs. And it was in the BBs that I learned to march. Has anybody ever been in the Boys' Brigade? One person, two people, three people, four people, five people. The hands keep going up. In the BB, I learned to march. I loved being in the Boys' Brigade. As a child, as a wee guy, I wasn't really ready for it at that point in time. But when I went into secondary school, I loved being in the company section, the seniors. And it was in the BBs that I had my first ever leadership task. The officers who were in our company saw potential in me and invited me to a training weekend, which was all about leadership. And my first task was to teach a drill move to all these other boys. And so I had to instruct them in what to do. It was really scary, actually being up in front of people and telling them information that they needed to hear. Can I just tell you, nothing's changed. It's still as scary standing in front of people. And I remember, so let me just highlight a few faces on this, okay? So this is Doogie Belmore. This is Stevie Roy, and this is Alan Cowan. And Alan Cowan now is the captain of this company. And these three guys, I'm one of them, okay, just to clarify. And he wasn't called Stevie Roy at the time, he was called Steph. And the competition to win the inspection medal was fierce, okay? And it was most of the time between the three of us. Every month we would have inspection and you had to clean up your uniform and get your shoes polished and polish the brass and do all these things once a month. And it was usually one of the three of us that would win this inspection medal. And the competition was fierce. And there was no prisoners being taken, let me tell you. And on the other occasion that I was talking about there, where I had to teach other boys how to march in line, in time, this particular drill move, which was about, from memory, about changing direction and how to do that. And that year in BBs, I actually won the drill medal for our company. So I had the drill medal, and I also had the inspection medal. And I just so happened to win it in November. And what happens in November? Remembrance Sunday. And I remember Remembrance Sunday on that year, marching from our secondary school all the way up to the cenotaph at the other end of the street, Main Street in Uddingston. And I had two medals on. I'll tell you something. My chest was about that size that day, okay? I was only a wee guy, skinny, but my chest was massive, or it felt like that. And I remember marching up with great pride with my friends. Some of them were my co-conspirators. Some of them were my competition. We used to get up to all sorts of mischief. But I remember feeling so proud marching up the main street on that day with these medals. And one of the things that I wanted to come to, and I'm coming to a point here, and you're thinking, what is the point? Why is he telling us this? Because what was important was that we learned to march in time. We learned to march in time. And if you got out of sync, I don't know if you've ever done this, for those who were in the BBs, if you were marching, there was a little move you did if you were out of sync. So when it was left, right, and your right was going when the left was being said, you were out of sync. And there was, as you were marching, there was a little skip that you could do to get yourself back in time. And your left would become left and your right would become right. And I did think about demonstrating that, but I changed my mind. But there's a little flick you do, and it gets you back in line. And as I was thinking about this verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, where it talks about keeping in step with the Spirit, and bear in mind, I'm not just talking about your and my individual responsibility to keep in step, but our responsibility. I thought about those moments in the Boys Brigade when we used to march, and we used to have to keep in time, and we have to keep in step with each other. Keep in step if there was a band playing, listening for that beat and keeping our feet on the beat. And so I want us to think a wee bit, just as we go on today, about what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. I'm going to put a slide up. Don't panic with this slide. There's a lot of information on it. Verse 25 talks about keeping in step with the Spirit. And it's that Greek word there, stoicho. That's probably not how you pronounce it, but that's my attempt at it today. And in that word that's used, it's used five times in the New Testament, and there's different meanings for that word. And I want to just think about the meanings. Like we use words in different ways, and language changes over time. So do you remember, if you were here at Christmas time, I said, I'm fed up. Do you remember that? And if you say, oh, I'm fed up, it's like, you know, you're kind of a bit down and you need a bit of cheering up. I need a bit of cheering up today. I need you to smile, okay? Can I ask you to smile? It might just help me not to be so nervous. I don't know why I'm so nervous today. Anyway, so please smile. But then I said, oh, I'm fed up. It's like if you see somebody holding their belly after their Christmas dinner, and I actually did this after Christmas dinner, I'm like, oh, I'm fed up. I am full. So language can have different meanings. And it's the same when we read the Bible and we have all these different translations in English. But we need to understand the language that Paul was using and why he was using it. But Luke also uses this word. Let me read just what he says. This is the situation when Paul, the Apostle Paul, is about to go up to Jerusalem. And they're trying to discourage him from doing that because they know that when he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to be in trouble. And they say to him, and Luke records this, take these men and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads, and thus all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law. See, the fear was that Paul was telling people to ignore the law, and he wasn't doing that. But it was that little phrase, live in observance of the law. And really what it's talking about is being in the ranks, being in the same ranks. You're kind of getting into line with what other people are teaching and saying. Paul uses the word four times. In Romans chapter 4, verse 12, it says, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but also walk in the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham, who had before he was circumcised. And Paul's writing to the Romans, and he's talking about this religious practice, which is no longer needed for the New Testament church. Thank goodness for that, boys. And he's talking about walking in the footsteps of the faith of Abraham, the faith that Abraham had before even he was given the covenant of circumcision. Abraham had already begun to walk in faith. And what Paul is encouraging his readers to do is to walk in the same faith that Paul had, walk in his footsteps. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase about walking in somebody else's footsteps. You know, if we're blessed enough to have snow this year, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. Galatians 5:25 is the verse we're thinking about today. Galatians 6:16 says this, and as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. He's talking about those who are the true Israel of God. And he's saying, if we walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them. And that's that phrase, walk by this rule. It's walking in a particular way. And if you read the Amplified version of the Bible where it talks about this, it says, who discipline themselves and regulate their lives by this principle. Who loves the word discipline here? Does anybody like the word discipline? Oh, wow. Nobody. One, two, three. And somebody who put their hand up by accident. Okay. People who discipline themselves and regulate their lives by this principle. Let me ask you a question. To what extent do you discipline yourself and allow your life to be regulated by the Word of God and the desire that God has for your life? To what extent? Because let me tell you, there's a force in our world called sin. And sin takes the opportunity that's afforded by the law that we're talking about here, and it creates something in us that we don't like. And we end up not doing the thing that we want to do, and we end up doing the thing that we don't want to do, because sin is a force that's at work in our lives. Rather than disciplining ourselves and regulating ourselves by the principles that God has for us. Lastly, Philippians 3:16, only let us hold true to what we have attained, what God has already done and shown us already. And it's about living up to that. It's about holding true. And so just to summarize those things that I was saying there, live in observance of, walk in the footsteps of, keep in step with, walk by this rule, hold true to. When we think about this Greek word, where it talks about keeping in step with the Spirit, this is the range of meanings that we see both Luke and the Apostle Paul using in the New Testament. And this is what it's encouraging us collectively to do, is to live in observance of the Word of God, to walk in the footsteps of faith. And that we have a greater example than Abraham. We have Jesus, who walked this earth as a human being and showed us how to live. He showed us how to love, not just our friends, but he showed us how to love our enemies. To keep in step with, to walk by this rule, to hold true to. Isn't it tempting sometimes when you've made a mistake to say something that disguises the fact that you've made a mistake? Or is that just me? I never got away with it. When I was in Mitsubishi, I've told you this before, if something went wrong, I had to stand up in front of all the bosses and say what went wrong, how it happened, and what we'd done to make sure it didn't happen again. So we've got to hold true to these things. And it's allowing what we say and do to be true, a true reflection of the new life in Christ that we already possess. It's the way that we should live our lives, collectively keeping in step. And I want to encourage us this morning, there is a right way to live and there's a wrong way to live. There's a hard way to live and there's an easy yet not so easy way to live. There's a way that leads to life and there's a way that leads to death, both inwardly and relationally with God and with other people. And we're continually faced with the choices about which way we should live. Day by day, we make choices. And if we keep in step with the Spirit, then surely we must need to keep in step with each other and vice versa. You and I need to keep in step so that we can keep in step. How in sync do you feel with the people around you in this building today? Do you feel in sync with people? Do you feel that you're walking in the same direction, at the same pace and at the same time? Or are we all off doing our own little thing? And then we come together on a Sunday and we come into a service and then we go back out and nothing's changed, because that's what can happen in church life. I pray it doesn't happen here. But in order for us to keep in step, you and I need to keep in step so that we collectively can keep in step. We have an individual responsibility, but we also have a corporate responsibility as a church. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Is it making sense? So what we do individually affects everybody else around us. If I'm out of sync, you will know that I'm out of sync. Because when I'm out of sync, it will affect you. If you're out of sync in your family and something's kicking off and there's arguments and there's stuff just happening, you're not walking at the same pace, you just know you're out of sync. And the encouragement is to come back into sync. And it's the same for a church. Individually and corporately. And there's another commentary put it this way. The Vines Concordance says this. It is used of walking by the Spirit in an exhortation to keep step with one another in submission of heart to the Holy Spirit, and therefore of keeping step with Christ, the great means of unity and harmony in the church. As we begin 2024, I want to encourage us that we pursue unity and harmony in the church, that we find a way that we keep in step with each other and we keep in step with the Spirit. How do we do that? It's really hard sometimes. But the thought that I wanted to emphasize today was this whole thing about being in line, marching together, keeping in step with each other, that we might advance. And it was that just that phrase, advancing the line, that kind of caught my attention. And you'll know, because I've already mentioned this, about some of the films that I like to watch. And there's a film called The Two Towers. And in The Two Towers, this scene where the people are getting ready to fight and they're all fearful. And it's like, how are we going to survive the night? And then along come the elves. So you just need to be with me. If you're not Lord of the Rings fans, I'm really sorry. But every time I see this scene in the movie, the hairs in the back of my neck stand up. Because it makes me think about what we were like as boys in the Boys' Brigade, marching together, our brass polished, our shoes gleaming, our uniforms pressed white, and marching together with a sense of purpose, a sense of pride, a sense of unity, in time, in sync. And it made me think of this as well, this illustration where the elves come in. If you've never watched the film, I apologize. But the people are despairing. And then along comes help, and they just inspire confidence in the other people. And it's like, we're going to make this. Just that company who are in line, who are in unison, who are together. They inspire people. And then as you get into the third film, there's this scene where a city is under attack, and along comes this army to support the other army. And they're all in line. All the horses are in line. The leaders and commanders are out the front, but they're all in line. And the enemy turns around and looks at them and sees them coming as they're blowing the horn, and the enemy is fearful. And they're marching in this direction, and they see these people coming, and they turn around, and they're in fear. And what do they get commanded? The enemy gets commanded, form a line. The enemy is commanded to form a line to face this new army that's coming. And it made me think, folks, about what we're doing as Christians. And as soon as we begin to make progress, as soon as we begin to take ground, there's an enemy that turns its attention to us and it says, form the line. Let's bring an assault against this people. As soon as we as a church begin to try and take ground, begin to advance, begin to move in the direction that God has for us, the enemy turns round, and what does he start to do? He forms a line. He forms strength, and he'll begin to pick people off one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. And we need to remember that we face a spiritual enemy that has been doing this for centuries. Millennia. I'm 56. My knowledge of this world and how it works is very limited. We have a spiritual enemy whose knowledge of people and how they work and how this world works and how the systems work is beyond anything we can imagine. And that's not God. That's our spiritual enemy. And so the enemy turns to attack. And these guys, they rush in and they begin to take down the enemy. And it's like that for us as Christians. We begin to take ground by prayer and by pressing into the things that God has for us. And even that great host there, as in they're in the middle of battle, and then another enemy army comes in line to attack them. And so they have to turn around again and form a fresh line. And it's like this in church life. There's continually things happening where we need to focus and be aware of what the enemy is doing. Do you know, I'm not one of these people who sees demons in every corner and every lamppost. But I want to say something today. We face a very real enemy who's been trying to bring down the church for millennia. What did Jesus say? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're part of an army. We're part of a spiritual force that's in this world to bring the kingdom of God to earth, to bring heaven to earth. Otherwise, why do we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Why would we pray that unless our job as an army of people marching in unison, marching together, keeping in step with the Spirit, is to bring heaven to earth? And that looks like our neighbors being blessed. Abraham was told, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. It's the same message to the church. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. Every time there's a new enemy, the troops form the line. And for those of you who don't think I'm being very spiritual, let me use an army that Paul might have mentioned, the Roman army. And even they do it. They get into line. They form ranks. They face the enemy. And Paul would have referenced this. And if you read in Ephesians chapter 6, this is who he's picturing. When he talks about the spiritual armor, he's picturing a Roman soldier. Okay? So just to bring it all back to the Bible, for those of you who are maybe thinking I'm being a bit crazy. How do we do this? Do you know, I love the idea of us marching together as a church. Not physically, but in unity, marching together to keep in step with the Spirit by keeping in step with each other as well. There's something wonderful about the church when it's moving together in unity. Jesus prayed for the church. John records it in chapter 17 of his gospel. And what does he say? That they may be one. It's the great unanswered prayer of Jesus. Even Jesus has a prayer that's not been answered. That they may be one. Is the church one? If you look at the church in our world today, is it one? The church is divided. The church has been in division for centuries. And what does the enemy do? He just laughs. He just laughs. Well, I think it's time we started laughing back by getting to a place of unity in the church. God has already given us so much. Think about this. God has given us the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. He's given us Christ, the cornerstone of the church, the foundation of the Word, Scripture, Old and New Testaments. We have that now. And even in Paul's day, they didn't have the same access that we have today. We've been given the Spirit. We've been given spiritual gifts, the ability to grow spiritual fruit. We've been given grace, mercy, forgiveness. We've been given inclusion in the family of God. Listen to what Ephesians says, 1 and 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. We've been included. Everyone who takes that step of faith is included in the family of God. We've been given salvation and the promise of an inheritance to come. We've been given a calling to be the body of Christ, to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, a place where heaven meets earth. We've been given new life, and we have been given a new creation. And there's an onus on us to do our bit. We need to do something to respond to the grace of God. We can't expect God to do everything. If you're sitting here today and you're going to sit back and say, well, I'm just going to wait for God to do something. God's saying to you today, it's time for you to do something. It's time for you to get in line. It's time for you to get in step with what he is doing in the church. And we respond by the way that we live our lives, by prayer, by meditating on God's word and presence, and by loving God and by being a good neighbour, somebody who loves our neighbour as ourself. We need to keep in step. And just as I finish today, very quickly, some ways in which we do that. It's about our pace. A church on the move needs to move at the right pace. And this is one of the tricky jobs of leadership, is just getting that pace right for our church. It's also about place. It's about being in range to hear not only the voice of God, but also the voice of other people, to be together and to be in unity. And we need to find ways to do that. It's about purpose, our stated vision and mission. Are we united around a purpose? What's our mission statement? Don't be embarrassed. Those of you who know what it is are unwilling to say, I know, I can tell. It's to reach, to win, to grow, and to serve. A vision statement, sowing seeds of faith and reaping the generations. It's about prayer. And if you want to get close enough to feel the heartbeat of a church, and I mean a local congregation, if you want to know what the heartbeat of the local congregation is, get along to the times when that congregation prays. And when you hear the prayers of other people, you begin to feel the pulse of the church. You begin to feel whether the heart's racing. Right? There are times in our prayer gatherings where you just think, man, the heart's speeding up tonight. It's like, God's doing something. If you want to feel the heartbeat of this church, get involved in the corporate prayer life of the church. It's how you stay connected to what God is saying, or it's one of the ways, but it's an important way. And just the last thing, it's about peace. We're encouraged by Paul to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And I love it when we're at peace. Not a peace and jam. Okay? I love it when the church is at peace. And it's not always that things are easy, but when we are together, there's a sense of peace. There might be stuff happening all over. There might be all sorts of problems that the church is having to face. But when we are together, there's a sense of the peace of God. And to keep in step with the Spirit means to keep in step with each other. And I'll come back to the picture that's on the screen today, just later on, in the messages that I'll be talking about. Yeah, we need to stay connected with our Heavenly Father, but we need to stay connected to each other. And how do we respond to a message like this today? How do we respond? It's easy to stick a hand up at the end of a service and say, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. It's like a New Year's resolution. And then in 2 weeks' time, it's like, I've not been doing that. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. We need to depend on God to help us to do these things. Let me just be so clear about that. I am so aware that I can't do this in my own strength, but only we can do it. Only you and I, only we can do it. And at the end of the day, it's a series of choices, big choices and little choices. Now, if you've seen that film War Horse, and he says to his horse, you know, sometimes there are big days and there are small days. He says, this is a big day when they've got to plough that field. For some of us, there are big days and there are small days. And in the small days, we're faced with a whole bunch of choices that can lead us into the life that God has for us. And as we enter into life individually, we enter into life corporately. There are big days for us as well. And even in the big days, we need to make the right decisions. And just as I finish off today, people who keep in step with the Spirit keep in step with each other. Do you know that little illustration that I had at the start with the wee guy with the dad's hand? Well, there's truth in that. As we depend on God, there's truth in that. But I prefer this image. It's not just the wee guy in dad's hand. It's about us together, walking in unity, in unison. Do you know, being in unity doesn't mean we're all the same. One of the challenges of church is that we're all different. We see the world in different ways, but we can still be together in unity, keeping in step with the Spirit as a family. We're just like a little family, part of God's bigger family, but this is our little part of that, our little expression. And my encouragement is that as we enter into this year, that we keep in step with the Spirit, that we keep in step with each other, that we're connected to each other, okay? And as we go into 2024, let's just advance the line together. One of the important things that we do is pray together, and it's how we see that difference happening. Let's pray as we finish off our time today. Father, I just want to thank you for every individual, every family that makes this church what it is. Father, I thank you for every person gathered here today, those joining us online as well. And Father, you know us intimately well, and we thank you for that. Lord, we read about that in Psalm 139. Nowhere we can go, and you're not already there. Nothing we can think, and you don't already know. Nothing we can say, and you're not already aware. No problem that we have that's too big for you. And so, Father, we pray, may we lean into you. May we keep in step with the Spirit. And Father, as we progress into this year, I just ask that you'd help us to find ways to walk together with each other. And Father, for those who are struggling to walk today, Father, those who are dealing with injuries and ill health and all these types of things, Lord, physically there are people who are struggling today. And Father, we pray that you would just bring down that wall in their lives. Father, that you bring healing. Father, that your life would flow into their physical bodies. And we pray that for everyone today who needs a healing touch, whether they're in the building today, online, or not being able to connect in any way. Lord, those who would love to be here today but can't be for various reasons. And Father, we bring the Stevenson family before you today. Lord, they really need you at this time, as we'll have seen through that email about Wee Jack and all that's going on there. And Father, we just bring this family before you. And Father, we pray that you just meet them at their point of need. And Father, that you touch them. Lord, there's such a need for healing to flow, for heaven to come to earth, and us to see that in this way, the manifestation of healing. And so, Father, we pray, may your Spirit move. Lord, everyone who needs a touch in their body, Lord, many who are not here today who want to be and just need that touch, Father, we just pray that you come and meet them where they are. Lord, those who have been dealing with long-term sickness and illness, Father, we pray for healing. We pray for freedom, bodily freedom. And yeah, Lord, we just, as we stand at the start of this year, the start of 2024, our first service of a new year, another new year, Father, I just want to, on our behalf, commit us to you and to your plans and purposes. And Lord, we just ask that you just come and make your home in this place, make your home in our hearts, and make your home in this church. So Father, we just lift these things before you, in Jesus' precious name today. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.